your martial arts movie podcast.
Ha ha! I threw that shit before I walked in the room!
Yeah! Featuring drunken Thai boxer, Will.
Too bad you will die.
The also drunken wrestler, Mark.
I said I don't want trouble!
And drunken karate master, Zero.
You've lost your balls.
And now...
Call.
I know kung fu.
You know, baby.
Fists of Fail.
Man, Force of Five is a very, very misleading title for this movie. Because only four of them fight. Not even, there's only three of them fight. That's a terrible title.
Well, I think the real title is Power Kids. And for some reason, they rebranded it or retitled it The Force of Five. For some reason, but...
I don't know.
You know, that happens every now and then for some reason. Who cares? We're talking about Thai kids getting beaten with a switch by their teacher.
By a switch? Wait, what?
Oh, yeah, you don't know. Maybe you don't know about that. Switch is slang for like a thin stick.
Oh, I guess I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. I remember my my college roommate told me that he would have to get a switch from the tree and his parents would beat him with it. I was like, oh boy.
Oh, I was like, what does Nintendo have to do any of this? what is this? Power Kids. 2009. Another movie that doesn't... It has children in it. They are the stars of the action, but it's not necessarily a children's film. Ergo, the R rating.
No. Oh, man, this is so frustrating. This is a children's movie. The story, the feeling of everything, it's a kid's movie, and then they throw them into Die Hard. It's like, well, oh man, like I don't know who this movie is for, and then there's an R rating. Oh god, this is like tonally all over the place. I don't know who is this meant for, right?
Cultural differences might be a major factor in today's, the differences between like its American distribution and its original Thai distribution. Maybe in Thailand, kids could watch this and like, yeah, this is, I can watch Power Kids along with Barney or along with Cocomelon. This movie has violence in it. There has people dying, you know, gore.
Kids,
well, not really
kids
gore,
get
but,
shot.
You know, blood. Yes, kids getting shot up. And the subject matter is kind of like I guess the story is actually pretty straightforward. In theory, one of the kids, his name is Woon.
Yes.
He's the little one. He's like the latchkey, the small little one. He has a congenital heart issue, and he needs a heart transplant. And rather than just tell you that he has a donor heart coming, they need to show you actual like footage of another dying child just to throw it in there, to make you feel like shit.
I love how the doctor frames it. He's like, I have good news. There's another child in a coma. When he dies, we can give you the heart. And the teacher's like, yeah, I guess that's good news, but it's also bad news.
Well, you know, in another movie, we wouldn't even have that plot element. They would just say, like, oh, we have a donor heart.
Exactly.
No need to cut away to a dying child on a deathbed. And then, like, in a later scene, we actually see that dying child die with their grieving parents just, like, huddled over him.
I know! what are they doing in this movie?
It's like, yay! Thank goodness that kid is dead. Mm-hmm. This is basically the impetus for like why like they need this cut, they need Woon to basically like why the other kids need this new heart for this kid for Woon is because the hospital where the heart is being transplanted out of the dying kid is overrun by terrorists about like 30 minutes into the movie, and then that literally jump starts our Die Hard plot. Mm-hmm. And man, this is the second time we've done a Die Hard ripoff.
Die Hard in a hospital. Yeah, first one. Yeah, was yeah. Sanuk, with Vijay Jamal.
Vijay Jamal.
It would have been great if he just popped up like, hey, have some milk. let's drink some milk off the floor.
You know, it's weird because you did tell me this is you watched this before I did, and you were like, oh, this. Be prepared. It's just Die Hard in a hospital again. And I started watching the movie, and I just completely forgot you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't happen right away, and you know it's not like, you know, they don't really set it up in that aspect. The first 30 minutes like take place in several locations, and it almost seems like it's going one like a completely different route. And then suddenly, like boom, we're in a hospital. And there's a terrorist invading, and it's like, oh, now we're in Die Hard.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, okay, I did not expect that at all.
Right, right. Terrorist leader Johnny Nguyen, famous Vietnamese.
Oh, we haven't covered him in a while.
Yeah, we haven't covered him all. He doesn't have, like, the biggest martial arts catalog, actually.
Yeah.
I think we've been, like, dwindling him down, unfortunately. But it's always great to see him. You know, he doesn't have so much to do in this until the end, but he does get to blow up a car with a rocket launcher, so you know, that must have been fun.
He blows up that car as he's standing in front of a whole bunch of people right behind him, and it's like the inside of the hospital would be blown to shreds too. That's not how rocket launchers work, you know. Very simple plot. I kind of went all over the place with that, but it's just like they need to get the heart transplanted into a wound so he can live, and that's really it. But like the movie actually starts with like this really like dramatic flashback that about like I guess some events that are happening to Johnny Nguyen and this other kid like in their native home, and it's like. It happens, then the title sequence appears, and then you completely forget that scene even happens until literally a 30-minute mark when they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. These characters exist.
Right. Yeah, they're trying to give you a little bit backstory for the terrorists. They're trying to give you motivations and make you sympathize with them a little bit. So they're not just generic bad guys because, oddly enough, so Johnny Nguyen is the terrorist leader. But he has this little girl who is, like, co-leading alongside of him. I feel they did that because, you know, we have the children protagonists. So they needed to counterbalance it by having a child bad girl as well. But she's not that bad, actually. She just happens to be with the terrorists. And they do elaborate on her backstory a little bit. So, you know, when things happen at the end, you can at least kind of feel bad, I guess.
It's not like
she was one-dimensional, I guess you could say.
She's supposed to be just a child in this movie, so I guess that's supposed to make sense that she has like some level of innocence to her. Mm-hmm. I mean, they kind of like give her some level of redemption in the movie too. Again, she's a child, so like you can only go so much with like the evil angle.
Exactly.
You know,
so I was a little disappointed with her as the bad guy, though, this little child, you know, bad girl, because I thought she was going to be somebody to fight the kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, maybe to level out the playing field, or I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. I want to see kids fight kids for some reason, because it's mainly
like a cockfight.
because it's mainly the kids fighting adults for the most part. And it's them, you know, doing the you know, very typical Thai knees, Thai elbows, lots of big flying kicks, which is great. But for some reason, I just wanted to see kids going at it with each other, and they don't do that in this movie.
Yeah, they give you a little tease as if they were going to do that. There's one scene where Baru, that's the Thai, or that's the terrorist kid, I guess, is the best way to describe her. She throws like a back kick at Woot, who's the main character. And then that's it. Like, she doesn't do any more martial arts throughout the rest of the movie, as far as I can remember.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they literally don't even, obviously there's no other opportunities for the kids to fight after that point. So yeah, that's really the extent of it. But that's fine. I mean, to give the movie a little credit, I mean, similar to last week's episode, at least this movie is another example where when the kids are fighting, it's not, they're not fighting adults, and the only way to make the kids look good is for the adults to look incompetent, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to keep on saying, as much as like you can enjoy the three, even the best of the Three Ninjas movies, Knuckle Up, even if you can enjoy those movies, like at best, like the best way to show the kids in their best light is by having very incompetent, goofy adults. And like, this movie doesn't have that problem though. But unfortunately, this movie doesn't have a lot of fighting. Yeah. I mean, it does, but there's really only two like major fight scenes in it.
Yeah, with the last...
Throughout the movie, there's... Yeah.
With the last fight, you can kind of break up into two different sections. So maybe three-ish. And then I think you were going to say stuff in the middle. Like little skirmishes in the middle. Not enough to break down, but... It's a shame. Like I this movie is so short, 75 minutes long.
Yeah.
They even cut out the end, the resolution of the film, to put it in the credits section, which boggles my mind. It's like they thought people wouldn't be able to sit through any more of this, so they had to show credits over the ending.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the movie actually does feel even for 75 minutes. It kind of is a breeze, but you can tell moments where it just feels like padding. Like the first 30 minutes of the movie, a lot of it I felt like was unnecessary. Like, we could have just jumped straight to the hospital. I mean, it is to, like, try to establish that, like, oh, there's, like, supposed to be, like, a rapport between, like, all the kids, and you feel bad for Woon, who's, you know, about to pass. You know, like, he's not doing so well health-wise, but... I felt like a lot of that could have just like been cut in, you know, editing, and we could have just jumped straight to the hospital stuff. Because you know, like, I just wanted to see more action. But thankfully, I think that the overall movie it's very easy to sit through because of its overall length. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. So, I guess, what did you think about the action in general then?
I like that the kids. You know, like, they, in order for them to look good, like, you don't need incompetent adults. That's something that's very true. I don't like the quantity so much. And I would say that this movie is a very good action sandwich where the bread is like the content. It's an inverted sandwich. It's the content is in the beginning and end, and then the middle is like, I get little sprinklings here and there, but. I kind of wanted more in between, you know?
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm most engaged in the beginning and in the end.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I think this could have been, like, a higher recommend if they just threw in, like, one more solid fight in there. Like, maybe in the middle. Because, like, in the middle, in between when the kids are interacting and then when they're in the hospital, it feels like it's just missing that, that elevated action beat to... You know, bring things up a bit, and then we can, you know, let things die down, and we can develop the characters a little more, let the pacing slow before the final action crescendo. But unfortunately, it's just missing there. So, like you mentioned, it is a action sandwich with the action being basically in the beginning and the end.
Yeah, yeah, and the kids are very talented for sure. Like, if I'm right. There's not a lot of information in English that I can find on this movie, unfortunately.
We've seen one of the girls before, Sasisa Jindamani. She plays the oldest girl, Kat. She was in Born to Fight. She was a little Thai, kickboxer who fought in the village. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah. This was like 5 years before that, right? So
yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
And then her and then the other girl, Jib, they were in Mai Tai Giant. We never covered that, but you and I...
We will one day.
You and I both watched that. And that is a very bizarre Thai action movie. I don't know if there's enough fights for us to cover it, but it's... it's an interesting premise, to say the least.
Well, we'll cover it one day. I want to talk more about Nathan Jones. Like, like, he's not the biggest, like, martial arts star, but he's always in martial arts movies. So,
well, he's like... so huge, so he's he's the brute. You know, he's the big Goliath.
Yeah, but he's usually, he should be, like, the villain, and here he is, like, the star of the movie. It's like,
In Muay Thai Giant, he's actually
Yeah, he's not in this
movie. He is not in this movie, unfortunately. He could have easily substituted for the drunk European/American guy that the kids do fight in the beginning of the movie, but they just got some dude. Some big muscular dude, yeah.
Right, right. Well, on the topic of people who are, I guess, people that we know, Patai Wong Kam Lao, that's the one who plays Pong. Pong's the one who tags along with the rest of them. He's like the comic relief character. He is he's the only one who doesn't actually do any martial arts throughout the whole movie. He's kind of like
he's kind of like a wisecracking kid. He's always trying to strike a deal whenever they try to buy stuff and get it lower. And ultimately,
So that if anyone has seen Ong Bak or Protector or anyone who knows Mum Jok Mok, he's the comedic character in that movie. You know, like if you've seen any Thai movies, like, you probably know who he is. Like, he's usually the comic relief in those. This is his son playing this role.
See, I wasn't sure if that was actually true, because in the movie they do say
they do reference it, yeah, but I did look it up afterwards.
So he really is the son?
He actually is the son. And he's like a splitting image of him.
I thought he did look like him, but I wasn't sure if they just got lucky and that actually was his son.
No, I was actually kind of disappointed. I'm like, oh, I wish he did some martial arts just to say, like, see, Dad, I can do things other than just be comedic relief.
But yeah, that guy is in everything. He was in everything that Tony Jaa basically did.
Basically,
I mean, I think he's still acting. Yeah, he's still acting, so.
Yeah, yeah. But, I think that the kids actually do have a lot of, like, skill in the movie. I think there's, this is the same production crew, you know, Project Pinkyao, Pana Ready Cry, obviously a different director, but, you know, it's all in the same vein as, like, the movies that came out of that era.
Yeah.
Or the mid to late 2000s. So, the caliber of action that you would expect from Thailand at that time.
Yeah, it's not as polished as those movies, because Pana Ready Cry, he action supervised and he produces, but I have a feeling he's just kind of maybe putting his name on there, you know, to give assistance to the film, because he is the more, one of the more notable names. It's not as polished as his work, unfortunately. But, man, like, you can't deny having a whole bunch of children beating the shit out of Johnny Nguyen for, like, the final moments. It's glorious. It just doesn't end. And that's why I wanted to talk about this movie. Everything else, I was like, okay, yeah, this is okay. This is pretty cool. But that final fight with him fighting the kids, it totally makes it worth it. And we can elaborate on it more, but that when I first saw it, I was like, okay, yeah, well, I think we could talk about this.
Now we have to do it. All right, I guess with that said, we can kind of jump right into the action, and I guess we'll talk more about the story as well in the spoiler section/Patreon section. So if you guys want to listen more, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/ I don't know, something fits a fail. It'll be in the show notes. All right, so, Power Kids.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We're at the point where we give our recommendations, but there's a whole wealth of audio you would be listening to here if you follow us on Patreon. There you can listen to the entire episode, including an exclusive action breakdown of the fights in the movie. But you can still support us by liking us on all the things and watch this and other episodes on YouTube with visual cues to accompany our discussion. And now on to our final thoughts.
Oh, God. And that's Power Kids, right?
Yeah, that's Force of Five or Three or Four, whatever. I don't know. It's a terrible title. But yeah, Power Kids.
Power Kids.
This is a short one, but yeah.
Well, we did talk a lot. I think we went into, like, We're on the hour mark right now. If you're listening on Patreon, you would know we've been talking for, you know, roundish. You know, maybe if you didn't, this might be maybe what a 20. What?
I mean, I guess like 20
minutes. Maybe a 20 minute episode, maybe a shorter one. So if you want to hear, you know, the longer version, because we did go into these kids getting whipped some more, you know, you can listen to that on Patreon.
Yeah. Then you'll know like our exact thoughts. But yeah, I mean, you'll know if you listen to us on Patreon, you'll know that we only talked about the couple fights that they're in there. And that's like kind of like a good and bad thing about this movie. I think that I do like the fights that are in there that we definitely like did spend a lot more time on. The two that like we mentioned are really good. The beginning one and the end one, like those are pretty good. You know, I think that, you know, these kids are really talented. Unfortunately, the quantity is not much throughout the movie. The little skirmishes, especially after talking through them, I realized, I'm like, wow, these are really short. To the point where like you can actually just not talk
there's about just them like at all. One or two moves that we could highlight, and that's all the movie does. It highlights maybe these cool little moments, and then that's it.
And then but really you're in it for the big fights, and that's like the beginning and the end. So yeah, I mean, like from the action standpoint, those are pretty good fights. Zero, what are your thoughts on the movie?
I mean, it's 75 minutes long. It's free on Tubi. You can sit through it. Just sit through the movie. It's pretty cheesy in the beginning because it's, again, I feel that tonally this movie, it doesn't feel right because it's trying to be a kids movie, but then we go into that we go into R-rated stuff. When we get Die Hard in a hospital. So I don't know who you're supposed to show this to. So yeah, you're most likely an adult watching this. You can sit through it. It's a breeze. And it ends on a hilariously awesome, never-ending fight of Johnny Nguyen getting beat up by children. It's glorious. Just watch it. It's fun.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, 75 minutes. Like, what's not to... 75 minutes and it's free, so like go check it out. I like those two fights especially. Again, like it's because it's so short, you don't need to just watch the fight scenes. Just go watch the whole movie. The first 30 minutes, you know, just sit through it. You bear with it, you'll have a good time. And I think that the reception on even on Wikipedia itself is like a great way to sum up our feelings on the whole quid kids film status. Twitch film gave the film a mixed review, referring it to as a kids film that has no business being seen by children.
I love Twitch film. That's a great tagline. That should be on the DVD.
Kung Fu Cinema criticized the movie for having inappropriate content matter for a children's movie. It's a martial arts movie, of course.